Well, sorry, I got my emotions all tore up. Butterflies, crying. It's hard to preach after that song. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 1. If ye be then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, and cleanliness, inordinate affections, evil constituents, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Father, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit that we've already felt here tonight. Father, thank you for visiting with us. Thank you, Father, for coming by and sitting down on our church. God, I pray now as we try to preach the Word of God that you'd help us. Father, you'd use me, Father, for your glory. Father, give me the words to speak. I'll praise you. I'll bless you. I'll thank you for everything that you accomplish tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd visit with us. Help these people in attendance. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 8. Paul begins Colossians 3 with an assumption. He begins and he says, if ye be risen with Christ. You know, there is a good possibility there may be some here tonight that's not risen with Christ. There may be some that's not risen and are still dead in your trespasses of sin. Spiritually dead. Dead to the things of God. Dead to the desires of God. Dead to the will of God. Spiritually dead. Spiritually blind. Dead. But he says in verse number 1, if. That little word if in verse number 1 has a great big meaning. He says if. If. You know, your whole eternity. Your fate. Your eternal home hinges on that little word if. If you are risen. If you've been born again. If you've been blood bought. If you've been saved. If you've been quickened and made alive. If ye be risen with Christ. You know, we didn't just one day decide to follow Christ and we're risen with Him. We didn't one day just decide to turn over a new leaf and we were quickened and made alive. But rather, when we came to Christ as a lost sinner on our way to hell, and through the drawing and through the compelling and through the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and we realized our need for a Savior, when we came to Christ and we believed on Him, we were risen with Christ. It's because of Him. Because of Christ. If ye be risen with Christ. Then he says, seek those things which are above. We see there was an assumption he began in verse number 1. He said, if, but now he says, seek. We see there's some ambitions here in verse number 1. He said, seek those things which are above. You know, the older I get, the more I realize the things that I see and the things that I desire and the things that are around me here on this earth are temporal. They won't pass. And they won't stand the test of time. Most of the things that we desire, and most of the things that we long for, and most of the things that we seek are temporal. I was wondering tonight, those things that you sought for this week, those things that you had ambitions about this past week, those things that you desired this past week, see, that word temporal
Or that word seek, it means to strive for. It means to meditate upon. That word seek in verse number 1 means to crave. Those things that you crave, those things that you had were ambitious for this past week. Those things above, or are they temporal things? Eternal things. Things of God, heavenly things. Paul's telling us, if you are risen to Christ, we ought to seek those things which are above. What things is Paul talking about here in verse number 1? I believe he's talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He says he's on the right hand of God. I believe he's talking about seeking those things that are holy, seeking those things that are pure, seeking those things that are godly, seeking those things that are eternal. Our ambitions should be on Christ. But then in verse number 2, he says, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of earth. He started in verse number 1 with an assumption. He said, if you're risen. Then we ought to have some ambitions. We ought to seek those things that are above. Then in verse number 2, he said, set our affections, our thoughts, our mind on God. Has a meaning of being harmonious. Having the same mind, the same accord as our Lord and Savior. Our ambitions, our desires, our cravings ought to be that things of above. But our mind, our thoughts should be like His. What's on Jesus Christ's mind should be on ours. What He thinks is what we ought to think. What He likes, we should like. What He hates, we should hate. We see some assumption in verse number 1. And we see some ambitions in verse number 1. And in verse number 2, we see some affections. But I want to take our text tonight from verse number 3. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He said, for ye are dead. Sam White, a 53-year-old man that lived in Virginia, his passions, his affections, his ambition was on the Civil War. He spent most of his adult life traveling and scouring and searching the battlefields in the South for Civil War relics. They said that he was a expert in Civil War munitions. He would take shovels and he'd take picks and axe, and he even had scuba gear that he would get into the waterways and the lakes and the rivers in the South, and he would look for bullets and artifacts and buttons and weapons. But on February 18th, 2008, he uncovered a 9-inch, 75-pound cannonball. And he took that cannonball back to his home just like he had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times before. There he took that cannonball and he cleaned it up and he restored these munitions and he dedicated them to museums. And as he was restoring this cannonball and as he was cleaning it and polishing it and taking those years of tarnish off this cannonball, it detonated. It killed Sam White instantly. The news report said it sent shrapnel over a quarter of a mile away through another residence. They considered Sam White the last casualty of the Civil War. You see, he would go out and he would look for things in the earth and he would uncover them and he would use his metal detector and he would unearth all these artifacts. But that cannonball, it had been buried for over 140 years. But it was still powerful. That cannonball had been in the heart of the earth for well over 140 years. But it was still alive. I want to preach on that thought tonight just for a few minutes. It might be buried, but it's still alive. It might be buried, but it's still alive. Verse number 3. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye. For if you've been saved. If you've been born again. If you've been blood bought. If you've been quickened and made alive. He said, ye are dead and your life hid with Christ in God. I see, first of all, the position of a saint. He said, your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm glad tonight I can say that I am in Christ and He is in me. I'm glad I can say that not only that am I in Christ, but He's living and dwelling tonight in me. When I came to Christ as a lost sinner, I believed on Christ. I laid my sins on Him. He bore my sins. He became my sins as He hung there on the cross. When I came to Christ, I believed, I confessed, I repented on Jesus Christ. I believed on Him. And I'm in Him, and He's in me. That position will never change. That relationship will never change. My fellowship with Christ may change, but that position is established, it's given, and it will never change. When we come to Christ, we believe on Him. He becomes inside of us, and we're in Him. But daily, we're putting our trust in Christ. Daily, we're trusting in Christ. We ought to trust in Christ for every circumstance. Trust in Christ for every dime and for every dollar. Trust in Christ for every health issue. Trust in Christ for every triumph. Trust in Christ for every trial or every victory that we have. I'm talking about putting our trust in Christ. When we came as a lost sinner, we believed on Him, and now we're in Him. And we're trusting Him daily. Verse 3, He said, you are dead. You're dead. Dead to what? Dead to sin. Dead to worldly lusts. Dead to ungodliness. Dead to unrighteous living. You know, when someone dies, they'll either spend eternity in heaven or they'll spend eternity in hell. They'll either go to heaven with Christ forevermore or they'll spend their eternal home where the Bible says the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But that corpse is left here on the earth. It has no desires. It has no passions. It doesn't desire food because it never gets hungry. It doesn't desire water because it never gets thirsty. It has no desires. It has no ambitions because it's dead, because it's lifeless. That's what you and I are tonight. If we're risen in Christ, we're dead. We have no ambitions to this worldly lust, to ungodliness, to sin. Dead to the law. Dead to that right living, trying to earn and work our way into heaven. I was thinking of Paul. Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I believe Paul that day when he, on Damascus Road, he believed on Jesus Christ. And he gave Christ his sin. And Jesus bore his sin. And Paul was saying, He took my place there on the cross. He hung and He took my sins to the cross. And because He took my place and He died, I'm crucified with Christ. But He went on to say, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, I may be dead tonight to this old world. I may be dead to sin and dead to ungodliness and dead to this worldly lust. But I'm more alive than ever in Jesus Christ, in God. He's given us eternal life. He's given us life everlasting. He's given us life evermore. That old man tonight, when you came to Christ and you gave Him your sins and you believed on Him, was buried. But I'm glad we can say tonight, we're still alive. Just because it's buried doesn't mean it's dead. I see, second of all, the position of our Savior. Verse number 1, it's quite clear. It says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm happy to report to you, our Lord and Savior is alive and well. And He's seated on the right hand of God the Father tonight. Jesus, there as He died on the cross. And He gave His life for you. And He gave His life for me. And He shed His blood. And He gave and He gave and He gave. And He bore our sins. And then He gave up the ghost. Dying on the cross. For our transgressions. For our sins. And the Bible tells us that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Jesus. There he took the body and Nicodemus, they anointed his body with spices. And they wrapped his body in those grave clothes. And there's that tomb and that sepulchre was hewed out. A tomb that no man had ever laid. They put Christ's body in that tomb. Buried Him. Put Him back in the earth. Rolled the stone in front of the tomb. The Bible tells us the next day, the Pharisees went to Pilate. And it says that they commanded. They commanded Pilate because they said this man named Jesus said after 3 days he would rise again. So they commanded, they urged, and they urged Pilate to make the sepulcher as sure as he could. They said the disciples will come to him at night and steal the body of Jesus and say that he is risen. Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting watch. Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He was laid in that tomb. That stone was rolled in front of it. They went and they sealed the tomb. They set watch so no one could go in and no one could go out. And I can't explain it tonight, and I don't understand how tonight, but I can tell you by the authority of the Word of God, on that third day, our Lord and Savior rose again. Just because He was buried didn't mean He was dead. He rose for you and for me. We see the position of the saint. We see the position of our Savior. But I see in verse number 5, the permanence of our sin. Look at verse 5. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Paul is telling them to mortify, to kill, to crucify these worldly desires, these worldly lusts, these worldly sins. You know, our sin tonight, they have been permanently dealt with. They've been permanently removed if we're risen with Christ. They've been cast away. They've been buried and never to remember it anymore. Jesus Christ, when He saved us and we came to Him and we believed on Him, He sanctified us and He justified us. Very simple. He set us apart. And He declared us righteous. Some say that word justification means just as He never sinned. But I believe it's more than that. See, when God the Father sees you, those that are risen, He don't look at you and say, "Well, He just kind of looks like He's just as He's never sinned." But when He looks at you, He sees the blood of His Son and He declares you righteous. He declares you holy. He declares you pure. It's all about the permanence of our sin. They're gone away with. They're done. They're removed forevermore. Cast as far as east is from the west. They're buried. They're gone. They are dead. Never to be remembered anymore. However, you may be here tonight and have some unforgiven sin. Unforgiven sin that's not covered by the blood. Things that you haven't confessed. Things that you've buried. Things that you've tried to cover up. Things that you've tried to hide. Nathan the prophet, he went to David and he said, "David, there was a rich man and there was a poor man." He said, "This rich man had exceedingly flocks, great herds, and this poor man had one little ewe lamb. And this one little man, he'd raised this lamb with his children. But there came a stranger one night into the rich man's house. And this rich man didn't want to take one of his herds. He didn't want to take one of his lambs. So he went and got the poor man's lamb. And he killed the poor man's lamb. And he cooked it and he fed it to the stranger." The Bible tells us that David's anger was kindled. David said, that man shall surely die. Nathan the prophet looks at David and said, "Thou art the man." See, David thought he had that sin with Bathsheba covered up. He thought he had that sin of murdering Uriah buried, but it was still alive. Talk about the permanence of our sin. If we're risen in Christ, our sins are done away with. But we could be here tonight and have unforgiven sin. Sin that we've tried to bury ourselves. Sin that we've tried to hide. Sin that we've tried to cover up. They're still alive. But I'm glad for John. Verse number 1, or chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He said, "But if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." The position of a saint, the position of a Savior, the permanence of our sin. But I see lastly, the power of the inspired word. I was thinking there as just Randy was singing. In that song, they said something about the word never changes. It's just the same as today as it, and it will be tomorrow. God's word doesn't change. The Bible tells us all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The Bible we have tonight, it's God-given. It's God-breathed. Given to men. Given to you and I for righteous living. Given to you and I, and it tells us how that we can be saved. It tells us how we ought to live. It tells us that He's coming back. And it tells us tonight that we're going to be judged by His Word. But I was sitting there thinking as I was singing. God's Word. The power of the inspired Word of God. Society. Government. Our officials. Some churches have tried to bury the Word of God. They've tried to bury the power of the Word of God. They've tried to bury the authority of the Holy Bible. They've tried to water down the principles. They've tried to change the meanings. They've tried to say what it doesn't say. But just because they try to bury it, they try to cover it up, just because they try to hide it, doesn't mean that it's not alive. We see here, Paul said, if you're risen with Christ, if you're saved tonight, you're dead, you've got to mortify the members of your body, but I'm glad we're more alive tonight than we ever will be. The position of a Savior. He was buried in that borrowed tomb. It was sealed. It was secure. But His position tonight, He's on the right hand of God. I'm glad He got up on that third and glorious day. We see the permanence of our sin. He did away with them by His covering of His blood. Never to be remembered anymore. But if you're here and you've never asked God for the forgiveness of your sin, or maybe you have some hidden sin in your life, you've never asked Him for the covering of that, it's buried, but it's still alive. And then we see also the Word of God. Society may try to bury it. They might try to cover up the power and the authority of the Word of God. But I'm glad it's alive evermore. The Word of God will stand the test of time. We'll be judged on His Word. Now, let's all stand tonight. I think the Lord will have us in there. Misty and Brother Randy and Miss Marcia, if you would come sing that song again, I can't get it off my mind. It might be buried, but it's not dead. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the power of the Word of God. We thank You, Father, for what You've done for us on the cross. Lord, covering our sins, doing away with our sins forever. God, I realize tonight that we're dead to the things of this world, dead to sin, dead to worldly lusts, dead to those things that so easily beset us. But God, I'm glad because we're in You tonight and You're in us. We're not alive. God, there may be some here tonight that's lost, that's never accepted Your Lord and Savior. Lord, I don't know who they are or who they may be, but Father, You do. I pray now that the Holy Ghost would convict and draw and compel them. Lord, let them come and believe on You. And Lord, because of that, they'll have eternal life. Lord, I thank You for all You've done. I thank You for each and every one of us. Father, You know the needs now. Help us. Guide us. Visit with us. Father, let us accept what You want to give us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I stood before the cross. And
Father,
on the other side of Agathon, and there, as we prayed and poured our hearts out to Jesus, He bent to my matter who you are, whether rich or a beggar, the call is sent to you, so ever just kneel at the cross. Tell the Lord that you need Him. Your thirsty soul He will feed. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I can call on Jesus' name, and a king can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No power can take away all the joy I found in Jesus. Although the world may try my faith to shake, God's word, it's still the same, and it will stand throughout the ages. Your every step He'll help you take. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I can call on Jesus' name, and a king can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. I can call on Jesus' name, and a king can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The cross. The cross.
I want to have your thing on your heart. It might be buried, but it's not dead. All right. All right. Jason, you come and dismiss us. Adult choir practice for just for a few minutes after tonight's service. Don't forget Youth Sunday coming up in 2 weeks, August the 11th. Morning and evening service. We'll have a few churches here visiting with us on the evening service. I have some special singing in the evening service, so please make plans to attend and invite your neighbors, family, friends. Have some wonderful people that's going to be feeding the church afterwards. So please make plans to attend. That's August 11th, youth service. And then we have Brother Dean McNeese here the 12th through the 16th through revival every night at 7 p.m. Just remember that. Melissa Capps, I believe she's having surgery this Tuesday. Let's remember her in your prayers. Our pastor, as he travels, keep him in your prayers this week. Anyone else? Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, tonight we come to you a needy people, and Lord, we just want to be honest, dear Lord, and tell you that the thing that we need the most is you. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would just make your presence known, that you would help those that need you, that you would save those that need saving, that you would heal those that are sick, that you would just touch each and every need that we have. Lord, we pray, Father, most importantly, dear Lord, that you would just help us to
to live the life that you want us to live in front of others, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we pray, Father, that you would just help us to go out to a lost and dying world and carry your message of hope and salvation to that lost and dying world. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would be with each and every prayer request. We pray that you would be with each of these people as they leave your house, Lord. Bring them back safely the next time they open. And Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you for what you're going to do for us already. In Jesus' name, amen.